So, imagine looking at a calendar and like realizing you have a deadline that hasn't happened since Thomas Jefferson was president.
Right, yeah. And if you miss it, well, you literally won't get another shot until the year 2153.
Which is just wild. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are actually digging into a stack of historical astronomy logs and mission data today.
Yeah, we're tracking the epic journeys of NASA's five interstellar messengers. So that's Planeers 10 and 11, Voyagers 1 and 2, and New Horizons.
Exactly. And our mission here is to explore how, like, a rare mathematical miracle essentially made exploring the outer solar system possible.
It really was a miracle. But okay, let's unpack this by starting with the Trailblazers, Pioneers 10 and 11, back in the early 1970s.
Right, because just getting Pioneer 10 out to Jupiter meant surviving the asteroid belts, which back then was basically a blind spacewalk through a literal rock minefield.
Oh, absolutely. It was like a cosmic pinball game. But surviving that minefield proved we could reach Jupiter, and more importantly, it proved how we could use a gravity assist to go further.
Yeah, because it didn't just fall toward Jupiter and fly away, right? Like if it did that, the gravity pulling it in would just cancel out as it left.
Exactly. It's all about orbital momentum. As the probe approaches, Jupiter's also moving around the sun. So the spacecraft steals a tiny fraction of that momentum to permanently boost its own speed.
Okay, so it's like grabbing the side of a wildly spinning merry-go-round just long enough to let it whip you forward. You just steal the spin.
That is a great way to put it, yeah. And it worked perfectly. Even though we lost contact with them decades ago, they act as these cosmic ambassadors now.
Right, carrying those human calling cards with the symbols and drawings.
Yeah, and Pioneer 10 will actually reach a star in Taurus in about 2 million years.
2 million years, wow. Okay, so moving from the silent pioneers to the Voyagers, which are amazingly still communicating, I have to push back on a logical assumption here.
Okay, what's that?
Well, Voyager 2 used four planets for gravity assists, right? So shouldn't it be the fastest one?
You would think so. But what's fascinating here is that Voyager 1 is actually the fastest. It is cruising at 18.6 kilometers per second and is currently over 170 AU away.
Wait, really? How does skipping Uranus and Neptune make it faster?
Because scientists squeezed maximum gravity from Saturn, they flew Voyager 1 incredibly close to the planet, prioritizing just raw speed over visiting the other outer planets.
Oh, wow. Okay. And just for context for everyone listening, 170 AU means it is 170 times further from the sun than Earth is. That is so far.
It's incredibly far. But back in 1990, when it was only 40 AU away, Voyager 1 turned back to capture the pale blue dot photo.
Oh, I love that photo. It really hits you, you know? Every human who has ever lived, literally everyone, existed on that single subpixel dot caught in a beam of sunlight.
It's a profound moment for sure. But to achieve these massive distances and get that shot, well, NASA had to nail a virtually impossible launch window.
Right, and here's where it gets really interesting with Voyager 2's grand tour of Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, because planets are not just sitting still.
No, they have wildly different orbital speeds. I mean, Jupiter takes about 11.86 years to orbit the Sun, while Neptune takes a sluggish 164.8 years.
So to sync them up is like trying to make dinner plans with four different friend groups, but on a cosmic scale.
Exactly. This specific close enough planetary alignment only happens every 176 years.
Which is that mathematical miracle.
Yeah. If we connect this to the bigger picture, 1977 was a golden deadline. If NASA missed it, the next window wouldn't open until 2153.
So they had to get it right. And they did, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And later, that exact same orbital math got New Horizons to Pluto, too. So, what does this all mean for us today?
Well, both Voyagers have now crossed the heliopause at about 120 AU. That is the boundary where the solar wind essentially stops.
Right, so they've officially entered true interstellar space.
Yes, they've left our solar bubble.
It's just wild to think about. I mean, usually we think of human legacies as these massive monuments like pyramids or bridges, but those weather away or rust.
They do, yeah.
So it leaves you with this thought. If these probes travel for millions of years carrying our sounds and images through the void, long after Earth has fundamentally changed, will humanity's most enduring legacy simply be a floating calling card proving we were curious enough to reach out?